6 minutes after the hour on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, drafted into duty tonight once again. Be in the media over your public airwaves as the Malloys are cruising the Caribbean with our friends, who's down there? Bobby Kennedy Jr., Kerry Harrison. Liz Winstead was supposed to go, but she didn't go. Why didn't you go, Liz? I have to tweet her and find out. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog. You can call in this hour at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. These are your public airwaves. I have to keep reminding you, use them or lose them more than you already have. And if you know anything about anything, you know that you pretty much already have lost them to the corporate takeover of our public airwaves, which corporations, of course, have decided that 91% of these airwaves should be used to push right-wing ideas for some reason. 91% of our public airwaves. 877-520-1150 if you want to get in. Don't wait till the end of the show, as you guys always do. Also, a chat room is open and hopping at bradblog.com. The lovely Desi Doyen has finally wrestled her computer to the ground and is now in the chat room, along with For Earth, who is saving everyone tonight there in the chat room. Thank you, For Earth. Good to see all of you other folks there in the chat room. Let me see. What other business do I have to take care of? I mentioned earlier that the Democratic Leadership Council will be folding. That's the right-wing corporatist bunch of Democrats that organized during the Clinton years. And, of course, well, they call themselves centrist. Nothing centrist about them. They're just corporatists. But they're going out of business, we're sorry to say. Not sorry at all, actually, because apparently they're out of money. So they could close their doors as soon as next week, reports Ben Smith at Politico. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. And with them, of course, goes Jane Harman, this congresswoman from California, Los Angeles, out here, incredibly announces that she's leaving. She hasn't announced it yet, actually. Still, we'll call it a rumor. I guess she hasn't officially said she's leaving yet. Another corporatist, Blue Dog Democrat, who ran for Congress over the past year, made Marcy Winograd run against her in a primary for a year, only to win that election, did Jane Harman. And 2 weeks, what is it? Where are we? How long has it been? 3 weeks since they were sworn in, January 20th? She announces she's leaving. She's resigning within weeks. Well, she hasn't announced it yet, so we'll see what happens. But we did speak with Marcy Winograd, who is considering her opinions as far as what she will do, her options as far as what she will do, if, in fact, Jane Harman cuts and runs, as is all the news today. We talked with Marcy Winograd about that earlier in the show. If you missed it, too bad. You got to pay attention. But you can check out bradblog.com tonight. We will have the archives up late night tonight. Or if you are smart enough to be a Mike Malloy podcast subscriber, supporting independent muckraking, troublemaking media over your corporate airwaves, then you can get that podcast later. So the DNC is out. The Jane Harman is maybe out. The Blue Dogs got just, shellacked. That was, those were the Democrats who lost, by the way. About 40 of them or so in the Blue Dog caucus lost their jobs last November. It wasn't because they were too liberal. That's all I'm saying. Not because they were too progressive. FedEx CEO, a huge financial supporter of George W. Bush and Senator John McCain, said that He supports the idea of getting rid of oil altogether. This is the FedEx CEO. He is now joining the call that Barack Obama began in part at the State of the Union. CEO Frederick W. Smith, in a Fortune column, Smith described how the 670 aircraft and 70,000 motorized vehicles of his company deliver 7 million packages a day, nearly every single one of which is fueled by oil. This dependence, he writes, comes at a significant cost. What do you think? Smith said putting the U.S. military at risk and requiring, quote, requiring us to accommodate governments that share neither our values nor our goals. Oil spikes bring about recessions, and petroleum was responsible for 43% of U.S. energy-related CO2 emissions in 2009. That's what Fred Smith said out loud, supporter of George Bush and John McCain, talking about CO2 emissions? What? There must be some mistake. He didn't get the memo that it's all a hoax and a fraud. There is no such thing as global warming. CO2 is just what we breathe, that we exhale, so there's no danger. For those who don't know me, I was just now being satirical and sardonic. Smith agreed with the president that America can power away from petroleum. He wrote, "We cannot continue down this path. There is, however, a solution that may become economically attractive sooner than most think. Cars and trucks powered by electricity. Electricity is generated by a diverse, domestic, stable, fundamentally scalable portfolio of fuels that is almost entirely free of oil." So this is the CEO of FedEx. He says, "I am not someone who tends to advocate increased government involvement in the private sector, but there is no free market for oil. This is not a market issue," he says. "It is a national security issue." What do you think? Wish somebody had said that 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, and someone would have paid attention, and someone in the Chamber of Commerce wouldn't have been fighting against it for so long. And the Koch brothers. Speaking of which, Obama spoke to the Chamber of Commerce today. A lot of folks have been critical of him for doing that, for putting out what he calls an olive branch of sorts to these pretty despicable folks at the Chamber. Pretty despicable folks at the Chamber. Nonetheless, AFL-CIO spokesman Eddie Vail sent out an email today listing passages from Obama's speech that the AFL-CIO liked. He says that Obama's reminder to business that they have a responsibility to America, that they can't just worry about shareholders and the bottom line. He quoted Obama when he said, "Ask yourself what you can do for America. Ask yourself what you can do to hire American workers, to support the American economy, and to invest in this nation." That's what Obama said. And the AFL-CIO liked to hear it. They also liked it when Obama said, "For example, even if we work to eliminate burdensome regulations, America's businesses have a responsibility to recognize that there are some safeguards and standards that are necessary to protect the American people from harm or exploitation." Well, that's true, I suppose. They may have a responsibility, at least where laws are concerned, where workplace laws are concerned, that there are, in fact, some safeguards and standards that are necessary to protect American people from harm, at least the people who work there. Those regulations are all well and good. If they're not enforced, they don't mean a whole hell of a lot. And here's the thing that it seems to me that Barack Obama doesn't seem to understand, that when it comes to corporations, they have really one duty. They have a fiduciary duty. They have a fiduciary duty to their shareholders to put the good of the shareholders above everything else. That's it. They don't have a responsibility to Americans. They don't have a responsibility to workers, to hire workers. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, they don't talk about business any. The right-wingers don't talk about business anymore. Now they talk about job creators. They don't talk about corporations. They don't talk about business. No, no, they are the job creators. No, they ain't. The people are the job creators, because unless there's a demand for jobs from the people, there will be no jobs created. Business and corporations don't just go out there and create jobs just for the hell of it, just because it's fun. They have a responsibility, a legal responsibility, to their shareholders. That's it. So how do you give them incentive to do the right thing? They ain't going to just do it because Barack Obama axed nicely. That's what I say. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Come back with your calls, 877-520-1150. Maybe I'll play that Rush clip, Mike Stark with Rush. When we come back, 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Get to your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Whatever is on your mind, because after all, as I say, these are your airwaves. Use them or lose them. The DNC announces it will take no corporate cash at the Charlotte Convention. For the first time, the Democratic National Convention will not accept donations from corporations, PACs, or federal lobbyists in 2012. Individual contributions will also be capped, another first, at $100,000. At $100,000, that's the cap. You can't give more than $100,000, because then, you know, people might feel they owe you favors. So keep it just the small checks only, $100,000 or less from any individual, but not from a corporation. That would be outrageous, according to the contract governing the convention. Democrats say the policy is in keeping with the fundraising focus that powered President Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. From the very beginning, President Obama has placed a high priority on increasing the influence of grassroots and individual donors, and this convention will go further in that direction than any convention ever, said DNC spokesman Brad Woodhouse. Yeah, okay. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Ike. Speaking of South Carolina... Ike in, is this Charleston, South Carolina, or Charlotte?
Ike? No, Chucky Town, as we call it here. How you doing?
Chucky Town. All right, good. How are you doing, Ike? What's on your mind?
Yeah, fair to Midland. I just wanted to point something out about Reagan. And this is a strategy the Republicans have been following ever since he got into office. And I remember it real well. It's a distinct quote. He said, you know, if you want to kill programs, government programs, you've got two ways to do it. You can either do it through outright legislation and pay the political cost, or you can spend so much money you bankrupt the government, and then you won't have the money to fund those programs.
Now
that's been a political... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, that's been a political strategy they followed ever since he put it forward.
Well, you know, it could arguably be the strategy. I'm not familiar with Ronald Reagan having said that himself. I'll take you at your word. I know that it's certainly, Newt Gingrich talked about it, you know, starving the beast and all of that. And so, yeah, I mean, these guys don't like government. That's that. They don't like government, at least this new crop of Republicans. They don't like government. Why the hell anybody would want to put them in charge? I mean, I, you know, I'm plenty critical of the Democrats, make no mistake about it. But why anybody would want to put people in charge of government who hate government makes no sense to me.
Well, they like their form of government. They've already, you know, particularly the Tea Party, they've already proven that they've been bought and paid for. All you got to do is look at their staff and who they've hired. But I'll tell you something, too, just as another thing off the wall, since it's kind of freewheeling and open mic. I'll tell you something, you know, we didn't learn anything from the days back in Jimmy Carter's day when we were all lining up for gasoline. You know, we've been so foolish for so long.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just don't understand why it is that every building that we've built since then, or every building that we have standing now, how come we haven't put in cisterns, particularly where there's drought areas?
Mm-hmm.
How come we haven't been using solar on every building?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, well, you can't get all your power from solar. Well, that's true, but at the same time, if I can provide 40% of the power that I need per building, then guess what? Maybe we don't have to rip off the tops of the mountains in West Virginia.
Right.
Maybe we don't have to have big pools of coal ash poison our environment, the acid rain and all the other stuff, you know?
I know it very well, and of course I agree with you, and you know, hey, the sun is free. There's this great big huge energy.
I'm ready to get back to work, brother.
I know. Well, the sun is free. There's a huge energy source flying from this, falling down from the sky. Of course, the fossil fuel companies don't want it. Hey, appreciate the call, Ike. Good job. Back with more straight ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yes, I do.
I got the feeling there's something right.
No, it's not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you all week long. Right here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for the Malloys all week as they're out cruising the Caribbean. We need to get some Pirates of the Caribbean music or something, a little Love Boat or something. We'll play that. We'll figure that out later on this week. Taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Later on this week, by the way, John Fugelsang will be joining us. Looking forward to that. Also, Tom Tomorrow, the great Tom Tomorrow, will be joining us. And if you don't know Tom Tomorrow, go on over to, where is he, over at Salon? I just love Tom Tomorrow. Anyway, I'll just put it that way for now, and we'll see if he can continue publishing. I'm worried about it because so many papers are going out of business, which means they drop Tom Tomorrow. Which means it's very difficult to make a living, you know? I was going to play some of that Limbaugh, but let's get to some calls. 877-520-1150. Julian Camden. You better turn off your radio, Julie. Turn down your radio. Julie?
Yes?
Turn down your radio.
It's off.
Oh, it is? It's her phone? It's her phone.
Hello.
Well, what do we
do
about
that?
I'm here.
Okay, I won't talk. Go ahead. Your phone is weird, so go ahead and ask your question, Julie.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Well, I was thinking, like most everybody, I was raised with the idea that your actions have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And of late, or last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, it seems like anybody in the public limelight, who does something that obviously is unconscionably wrong, there doesn't seem to be any kind of consequence to it.
No, you're absolutely right, Julie, and I'm only turning you down for a second so that we don't have that strange echo, but you're absolutely right, and this is one of the things we're going to be actually talking about tomorrow night with Bob Edgar of Common Cause. I wrote about this last week at Brad Blog concerning Justice Clarence Thomas, who falsified, incredibly, he falsified his disclosure forms for the past 20 years, hiding the fact that he had received hundreds of thousands of dollars from right-wing organizations via his wife's income. I mean, imagine if, you know, we learned that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had received nearly $1 million from Planned Parenthood over the past 20 years, but didn't bother to include it on her disclosure forms. And yet, when it comes to Clarence Thomas, nobody's talking about it. This came out, you know, just last week. Common Cause originally broke some of this story, and I've added to it over at bradblog.com and detailed exactly what a crime, quite literally, this is. I mean, the man signed these forms testifying that, you know, that they weren't falsified, that they were accurate to the best of his knowledge, right above where it spells out exactly what the crime is for falsifying these forms. He did this for 20 years, and now no one in the media is even talking about it. Well, the LA Times came out with a story originally and quoted a law professor saying that this isn't a crime of any sort. I've tried to reach that law professor to say, hey, what do you mean this isn't a crime of any sort? Of course it's a crime. It's spelled out a half an inch below his signature on every damn form for the last 20 years. Of course it's a crime. Well, that law professor hasn't called me back. Anyway, Julie, continue. I'm sorry. I had to turn you down.
Well, it's been a mystery to me why, ever since all of those arms for drugs flights came into Mena, Arkansas, why hasn't Ollie North ever been behind bars?
Well, in the and I got to let you go, Julie, just because the phone is so crazy, but I'll speak to that. Ollie North was not behind bars because, in fact, Congress gave him immunity from prosecution. And so when he was found guilty in his court case, he later on got off on appeal because the courts had decided that he was granted immunity in Congress and therefore couldn't be held liable, that the information that was used to prosecute him was actually taken under immunity in Congress, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's Oliver North. I mean, it's only gotten worse. It's way worse.
Really got a lot of information out of him? Right.
Well, I know. I appreciate that, and I understand that. But this has only gotten worse. And, Julie, I'm going to let you go just because it's impossible to talk to you there with that crazy phone.
Okay.
But all right, thanks. I take your point. And no, it's only gotten worse. As a matter of fact, there is no accountability anymore. I was talking with a reporter yesterday, actually, about the Clarence Thomas story, someone who is working on a piece on this, I hope it'll be out soon. And, you know, she was sort of asking me my thoughts, you know, as far as why is there no accountability here. And one of the reasons is these guys are so brazen that they realize, remember in 2004, Karl Rove said, and I quote, "We create our own reality." Well, that is what they have been doing ever since. They create their own reality. Torture? Torture is not torture. Torture is enhanced interrogation. It's not illegal. Waterboarding is not torture. There is no global warming. They just create their own reality. Clarence Thomas, I don't need to check the box that says whether my wife received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Heritage Foundation or not. It was just an oversight. Anybody got a problem with it? Come and get me. And they just call everyone's bluff, and they realize that Democrats are cowards, and they're not going to come after them, and they're going to be able to get away with anything. And George W. Bush is going to be able to go to the Super Bowl, sit up there on the big Jumbotron screen and wave, and everybody's going to cheer, and isn't that wonderful? And this guy is a war criminal. Democrats, you going to do anything about it? Apparently not. Barack Obama, you going to do anything about it? Apparently not. interesting story related here. This broke, I think it was last Friday, from, well, this is TPM reporting. Today was supposed to be, actually last Thursday, today was supposed to be Scott Block's day in court. And given that he'd reached a deal with prosecutors and pled guilty to misdemeanor contempt of Congress, the outcome had seemed relatively certain he wouldn't be heading to prison. But a judge had other plans for Scott Block. Now, for those of you who don't remember Scott Block, and I'm sure you don't, because, once again, you know, Republicans, you know, when they're found guilty of crimes, nobody talks about it. But let's see here. He was the office of the special counsel under George W. Bush. And he was found guilty, essentially, of, well, what he was doing. And the reason why he was being investigated was because he's his office is supposed to be protecting whistleblowers. And instead of protecting them, he was making life worse for them. And when he was being investigated for this, he called in geeks on call to wipe his government hard drive clean during the course of a probe into his alleged retaliation against employees. So he was to come to his sentencing last week, and they had struck a plea deal, as they always do. He was going to get his little slap on the wrist and be sent on his way. But Magistrate Judge Deborah Robinson of Washington's federal trial court said in a ruling last week that Block, the former head of the Office of Special Counsel, must spend at least 1 month behind bars. Judge Robinson found that Congress expressly provided for a mandatory minimum sentence of 1 month, evidencing its intention to do so, that the language by which it did so is unambiguous, and there is no authority permits the court to disregard that provision or to interpret it other than in accordance with its plain meaning. Well, hallelujah! A Republican is going to jail, at least for a month. And, of course, he'll probably be appealing it or something. We'll see what happens there. Also, last week, by the way, we found out that, yes, in fact, Karl Rove and friends were illegally violating the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act, which disallows use of government offices for political schemes. And, of course, Karl Rove, as the director of the White House political office, had been doing that at hundreds of agencies. He was found guilty of it in this report by the inspector general. And, of course, because he was guilty of it, he'll go to jail, right? Well, no. As it turns out, as Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel, explained to me last week that, well, the punishment for violating the Hatch Act is to leave government. You must leave. You must quit. And, of course, since the violation of the Hatch Act was not found until, what, 4 or 5 years later, all of these guys have already quit. And so, and actually, Marcy Wheeler, to her credit, pointed it out at the time. When Karl Rove left, when this investigation began, Karl Rove left. He quit. He resigned to spend more time with his family. When he did, that was it. It was over. Accountability ended. There was no punishment you could bring to him because the only punishment was you must leave government, and he left government. So no one has been held accountable for that because all of the people who did this, who had these meetings in government, who used these federal agencies to explain how to help elect Republicans, all of those people have left because there's a new administration. So there's no one to hold accountability, no one to hold accountable. So there will be no accountability, as usual. But, of course, Barack Obama is looking forward, not back. And that's what we're left with. We look forward, not back. The bar is lowered and lower and lower, and it will continue getting lower until somebody comes in and says, yeah, you remember that rule of law? we mean it. 877-520-1150. Give us a call.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me.
My thanks tonight to, of course, the greatest engineer in the land, or at least in this room, Tony Sorrentino, right here. Thank you, brother. Great job, as always. My thanks, of course, to LA's K-Talk AM 1150 for allowing us to come in here and secretly use Stephanie Miller's studio without telling her. Also, producer, screener, chat room, Babeski, producer, Desi Doyen. Thanks, Des. And, of course, chat room savior today, our friend For Earth, in the chat room. Really appreciate you jumping in and saving our skin tonight. Of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy, as always, wherever they may be out on the high seas tonight. And to my guests, Will Bunch and Vince Warren tonight. Tomorrow night, Bob Edgar from Common Cause. And much more that will no doubt happen between here and there. And we may have Roseanne Barr. Well, Roseanne on the show later this week. What do you think of that? How do you like them apples? All right, and who knows what other mischief we'll be getting into all week long. 877-520-1150. We'll try to get to a few more callers here. Oh, look, it's our pal Orangutan from Illinois. Hey, Orangutan, how are you, sir?
Hey, Brad, it's Orangutan.
I know, but some people say Orangutan, and I don't think we have ever spoken in person, have we?
No, that's fine. I just wanted to say, hey, great job tonight on the show. Tony, top-notch music, and you're holding the fort down well. And if we ever hold these guys accountable, man, we'll all be celebrating. So good job.
Well, you know what? Thanks, brother. I really appreciate that. But to explain to folks, you and I have actually never spoken on the phone, but via email. And you're a great commenter at BradBlog. And most importantly, really, Orang, we'll call you, your support of BradBlog by getting the word out there, by voting it up over at Reddit and Dig and all of these other places. I don't think people understand how important it is that when you read something that you like, that you appreciate, that you think it needs to get out there, particularly when it comes from a progressive and a progressive point of view, how important it is to hit those Reddit buttons, to tweet it, to send it around via email, to get the word out, because we don't have, progressives do not have, the networks that and the airwaves that the right wingers do. So, Orangutan, I really, really appreciate your help there.
Exactly, Brad. You deserve it. So,
all right. How's that? By the way, how's that election going? The early voting going on out there in that mayoral race in Chicago.
Done. We're going to do our best. What else can you do?
Well, here's what we can do. We can tell people in Illinois that if you want your vote to have a chance of counting, your best chances is to vote on Election Day, not vote early, because in Chicago, they force you to vote on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines prior to the Election Day. So if you want to be able to verify your damn vote and vote on a piece of paper, wait until Election Day.
You got it. You got it, man.
Thanks for the call, my friend, and for all the good work. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All yeah. right. let's get to Roger. Roger in L.A., what's on your mind, brother? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Brad. One point everybody forgets is I think Mubarak came to power about the same day as Reagan here, because January Sadat was assassinated. And he came to power in January, after the 15th, I don't know exactly, but maybe the same day. And,
no, I don't think it was certainly not the same day.
Maybe a week, within the same week.
Okay. I'm not sure about that, but all right.
Yeah, 1981.
All right.
And then this dictator, you know, going on for 30 years with the coddling of Reagan for 8 years, and then his assistant Bush for 4 more years, 12 years. And then they blame it on Obama. What's happening now? That's ridiculous.
Oh, did they blame Obama that he didn't know what was going to happen in Egypt?
Yeah.
That we were going to lose our dictator that we worked so hard to keep for 30 years?
And then if you look at the other problems, like the oil problems, the energy problems, immigration problems, everything started with Reagan, and it's all coming to roost after 30 years, you know, if you look at it. He had this open border policy, and people have come from Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala.
Where do you come from, Roger?
I'm coming from India.
From India. And by the way, he assumed office, Mubarak did, October of 1981, so that would have been a few months at least after Reagan came to office.
But then Sadat got assassinated in January, right?
Now I have to look that up. What am I, Google? I don't know. let's see, Sadat, president was, October 14, it looks, 1981. But close enough. I do take your point. Hey, Roger, I appreciate the call. Thanks for using your airwaves and spreading the good word and telling the truth out there.
Okay, thanks.
All right, brother, take care. All right, well, that's another night. What's wrong, Tone? You okay? Is everything all right? Okay. Thanks for joining us tonight. We will be back again tomorrow and for the rest of the week. Please spread the word. Between now and then, I hope you'll stop by and visit us at bradblog.com. That's where you'll find me. Have a great night, America. We'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit.